Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, your true ghost stories, true calls from real people with real haunting situations.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our number, right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can email if you have an audio file that you recorded on your device. You want to send it to me. My email is Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Supporting the show is very important. It's what keeps this thing on the air. It's only $5 a month, and in exchange for that support, you get a bonus episode every single week. Yes. EPP, Extra Podcast Person Exclusive Bonus Episodes at ghostpodcast.com. Sign up there. Or if you like the platform of Patreon, you can do it there. Patreon.com/realghoststories. And get your content that way. You also get advanced episodes of the show. All commercial free when you're a supporter at $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I have no paper cuts yet, and I'm proud of that.
Well, that's good.
I've been packing away. Just packing away. And surprisingly, fewer boxes than I thought.
Is it that, or is it that we've left them all in their room where they belong, so maybe it looks like less? Because last time we moved...
Are you talking about the children? We've left them in their room and we're not packing them in boxes? What are you referring
to? No, I'm talking about all the boxes, because we've left them in the room where we boxed it up.
Why was it in the past that I would create a box mountain room and be like, put all the boxes in this one room?
I don't know. And we did do that, and it seemed kind of overwhelming and in the way. So this seems better.
It's like four or five boxes in a room. It's good. I don't know what the hell that was. I don't know. It's how I thought to do it. I don't know why I thought to do it that way. I think it's one of those things where you start doing something a certain way and you never change it.
Yeah, I get that. I think this is going to be, I think it's not going to be less work, but it's going to be easier for us to navigate in the meantime until they come to get them.
Yeah. So anyway, we're talking about moving, by the way, in case you're wondering what we're doing. We're just boxing shit up for fun and then just like, hey, it's like Christmas. We're like, oh, remember we have this? Oh my gosh, look at that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny if we Christmas wrapped all of the boxes that we're moving and then really we're like sticklers to the movers? It's like, okay, don't break the wrapping when you're trying to put all this stuff in the box.
I bet you they have weird shit like that happen all the time.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy people doing
people
things?
People are nuts, yes.
I wonder. That'd be a great question. I'm going to ask them because I always like hearing folks
crazy stories about their work and their environment, hence Office Horror Stories, the other show that we're developing right now.
Yeah.
But it's always interesting to hear just the weird shit that people request or do. That's a good question. That is a very good question. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. It is October as this is airing, and we're going to go and do a bunch of calls on today's episode of the show. Of course, again, 855-853-4802, our number. If you want to share your ghost story with us, you can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we may get your call on the air. Let's hear yours. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Sarah. I've called in a couple times. The last time I called was around February or March of 2017, and that story was featured on an episode called Pancakes with the Dead, which was an awesome episode. Thank you guys so much. I have more stories for you. It's been about 2 years, but I recently moved to Tennessee to live with my mother, and I'll give you a little bit of a backstory. I'll try to make this quick and simple. In 1993, before my fourth birthday, my mom and my dad got a divorce, and my mom came back to Tennessee to live with her family, and my father, being in the military, we got orders to move to another country. So things kind of fell out with my mom and my dad. They stopped talking for a very long time, and I actually, between the ages of about 4 and 16, I did not know if my mother was still alive. It's a very complicated situation growing up, but in 2007, my mother came back into my life. She found us on MySpace, of all places, with the help of her stepdaughter, and we reconnected. And I had found out at the time that my grandfather, her dad, had just passed away in November of 2006. Now, when I was 3 months old, going from Nebraska to England, we stopped in Tennessee for my mom to visit her family. And there's a picture that I have of me sitting on my grandfather's lap. That was the only time I ever met him, so obviously being 3 months old, I wouldn't remember it. So my mother told me that after the divorce and after things fell out and she lost communication with us, her dad came to pretty much hate my dad for keeping the kids away from her, and, you know, expressed that he had always loved us and wanted to get to know us better, and it just really made him sad that he never got to see us again. So recently, like I said, I moved back to Tennessee from Colorado Springs to reconnect with my mom and spend more time with her. And one of the things that I wanted to do was visit his grave, and she told me that the house that he lived in when he died had recently been demolished by the city. It was falling apart so badly that they had to tear it down, and I guess they're going to be turning it into a Habitat for Humanity. But she knows how much into the paranormal I am, and she told me that she wanted to take me to the rubble where he died so that we could walk around the property and see if I felt anything. Now, my mom has expressed to me that she feels him with her all the time. No matter where she is, she feels him with her, which I think is awesome. But before we went to the rubble where his house was, we went to his grave. And walking around the grave site, I didn't feel anything. And I have felt spirits before in the past. So, you know, being at his grave, I thought to myself, well, maybe I just didn't have a close enough bond with this man that I'm not going to feel anything. You know, I didn't feel anything supernatural in the graveyard at all from him or any spirit. So leaving the grave, we were on the way to the rubble where his house used to be, and I'm doubting it the whole time in my mind, thinking, you know, I didn't have enough bond with him, I'm not going to feel anything. So my mom, we pull up to the property, and she parks halfway in the driveway and halfway off the property. And being in the car driving onto the property, I didn't feel anything, but I got out of the car, and I took 2 steps onto the property, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. It felt like, you know, something was passing through me, and I just got hit with this intense wave of sadness and grief and pain, and I just started bawling like a baby, and I couldn't stop. And I had never felt anything so intense in my entire life. I had to force myself to continue walking on the property and kind of ignore this intense feeling that came over me just so I can kind of get a feel for the area. And, I mean, it was really awesome and it was insane. And even after we left the property, I had like 15 minutes I had, it took me to actually calm down and gain my senses back. But later that night, my mother and I were talking about it, and I remembered how she said that my grandfather had been so sad that he never got to see us again. And I thought about it, and I realized maybe when I stepped onto that property, you know, maybe he saw me, his spirit saw me, and was so happy to see me that he rushed me and gave me a bear hug of some sort, you know, and maybe that's why I felt it so intensely. Because, I mean, like I said, I've never, ever felt anything that intense. So I thought that was incredibly insane. I just wanted to share that with you guys. And also, he was Native American, and he's very country at the same time. And one night I'm sitting here in my mother's house, and I was flipping through the channels, and I saw Gunsmoke on TV. And I decided to check it out, and it was in black and white, you know, old school Western. About a minute or two into watching it, I felt that feeling again. I felt his presence with me, and it kind of scared me a little bit and was a little overwhelming, so I decided I'm just going to leave the TV on for you, Grandpa. You can watch Westerns all night, and I'm going to bed. Well, the next morning, my mom asked me why the TV was on Westerns, and I told her, and she was like, "What? His favorite show was Gunsmoke. He used to wake up in the morning and watch the news, and after the news, he would watch nothing but Westerns all day. Gunsmoke, The Lone Ranger, anything John Wayne related." So that pretty much validated for me that he was there watching it with me. So, I mean, I think being that I didn't know him in his life, it's really awesome that I got to sense his presence and feel him in the property where he died, and just have that experience was amazing. So thank you guys for your time. I hope you enjoy this story. I'm not an EPP yet, but I'm getting a job in pharmacy soon, so I will have money. And as soon as I do, I'm getting an EPP because you guys are awesome. I love the stories you share. I love your feedback, and I love the way you guys get sidetracked in your own stories and kind of go into your own history. It's really awesome. I love your guys' show, so keep up the good work. You guys are awesome. Bye.
Incidentally, there was no train in her background.
No, there was.
Nowhere near a train.
There was.
This happened to be a train sound.
I think that's awesome that she has such an empathic connection with these distant, not distant relatives as in like their, you know, third or fourth cousins, but relatives that she hasn't seen in a long time, mm-hmm. to where she's actually getting to know him even though he's gone.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's being able to go to that cemetery to suddenly feel that. There's one of two things that would have happened there, as I see it. Either it was the loved one, the grandfather coming, giving a hug, or she's now possibly has a demon following her, and she's going to break into possession at any given time.
No, I guess the third option there is.
There's no third option.
His sadness was just so overwhelming, it just stayed, you know?
Sure.
Because fear and sadness, they stay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of neat that she was able to figure out his favorite show.
Yeah. Gunsmoke. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever watched a full episode of Gunsmoke. I mean, it was before our time, really. So
yeah.
It was like one of those shows that I think sometimes was on like after your late local news. Like one network would have like Seinfeld. I don't know, Seinfeld. Cheers. Seinfeld was like later in life when we were, you know, young adults. It would have been like Cheers or MASH or something, mm-hmm. that was on after late local news on one network. I think another one would have like Gunsmoke or Bonanza on.
See, I think Gunsmoke and Bonanza and like the old Black and White Lassie, those shows were on a channel. I can't remember which one, but I remember watching those reruns in the summer.
Yeah, there was like always, we didn't have cable. So you had ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, which are your three or four, mm-hmm. big. Usually we just considered the three big networks. Fox was always kind of the one-off. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, it's Fox, you know.
Yeah.
It's a more extreme network. They run shows like The Simpsons, you know.
Right.
And, you know, real risque shit like that. And, but hey, in 93, Simpsons, ladies and gentlemen, and people under the age of 30, in the early 90s, The Simpsons was about as risque as network television got.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't allowed to watch it.
No, me either. And then it's like, oh, like somebody had like a Simpsons folder at school. oh, you can't have that. You know, Bart says butthead. Mm-hmm. That was considered holy shit. Like, don't do that. That's bad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the longest running television series in history. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then there was always like one other channel, usually in a market on broadcast TV, that was kind of a rotation of later in the later 90s. It became like a rotation of I think UPN was the call, the network calls. Uh-huh. And then it became the CW.
Yeah.
No, the WB first.
And then the CW.
Then the CW. Mm-hmm. And now it's the FU network, which I thought it I'd never not. See that until it's like, you're watching the FU. Go, bitches. That's their slogan. It's That's really weird.
Not even true. It's still CW.
Is it CW?
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know.
God.
It's the FU network. That's what you had to watch. And then maybe it's every once in a while, there'd be like another like little, you know, podunk station where they just run God knows what reruns of I don't know, like things that no one else would ever run. But that the UPN or the CW or WB or whatever, that's where you'd see like Lassie and stuff on in the middle of the day.
And then like when we were in high school, that was where like the teenager shows were.
Yeah,
on.
They realized, oh, we could actually do original programming and make money. Mm-hmm. Instead of running reruns of Lassie and Brady Bunch and what else, like Leave It to Beaver, all that was on there.
I tried to show Harper the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
No, it was Lucy that I showed her. I've been telling her I was going to have her watch the Brady Bunch. She might like that, but she hated I Love Lucy. I thought really? She'd think it was funny.
Is it because it's in standard definition and black and white? I mean, she sometimes has difficulty just watching like things that aren't HD. Like,
yeah, I know. She's like you, black and white. She just, you know, her eyes glaze over.
Yeah. Yeah. 855-853-4802. I told her about Unsolved Mysteries the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's a show because she loves crime. She loves true crime. She's 7. But she does. Yeah. She's like hell-bent on doing a true crime podcast as soon as she possibly can. Which would be kind of entertaining, having a 7-year-old doing like a real serious true crime podcast about horrific events and just getting her take on it. We get called into like child like services or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we
like,
would. We're not doing that.
We launched that. But when she's, you know, she wants to be like Nancy Drew type character when she's a teen. Anyway, I don't know what the hell I was going with that. Where was I going with that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. 855-853-4802. Caller. Hi. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. My name is Diamond. Well, not that. I don't want to say my real name, so Diamond's going to be my name for this. This isn't exactly my paranormal story, but it kind of ish is. I was dragged into it. But me and one of my friends, we were walking home from school one day, talking, catching up on the day, and I would hang out at their place for a few minutes. Around 10 minutes wasn't really enough because so much during the school day, you know. We were just talking. We would sometimes hear, like, the dryer door slamming shut, knocking, just random things that could be chalked up to, oh, this happened, something fell, whatever. When I got home, I would sometimes call them. We would talk over the phone more, just about random stuff at that point. They were going through the cupboards in their kitchen. I could hear the cupboards closing. Their voice was kind of distant, and I knew like their back was to me, but I could still hear them. I heard a little girl giggle very loudly into the phone. It freaked me out because I actually mentioned, like, what the heck? I heard a giggle. What was that? And Crystal told me that things happen when their back is turned. And since their back was turned to the phone, I caught the giggle. So that freaked me out. Later on, we're trying to figure out what to call the spirit and instead of just saying spirit. So I know you're not supposed to, but we gave it a name when we tried communicating with it through knocking. One knock for yes, two knock for no, that kind of thing. At one point, we asked something. I can't remember what it was, but we asked the yes or no question, and this, we named the spirit Blake, knocked four times. And Crystal said, why did he knock four times? There wasn't a fourth option. This kept going on for a few weeks, random knocking, this and that. So one day we finally decided to look up what the spirit, what happened, how the spirit died. We found out that the spirit is a little girl. And she, I don't know, I think she was home alone with her mom's boyfriend. I don't know, but her mom's boyfriend raped her and then killed her with a knife afterwards. I don't know who they are. The police won't tell, obviously, to protect the public. But that's one of the reasons why Blake is afraid of metal, which we found out. Supposedly, Blake was actually trying to warn us about another spirit in the house, because after my friend Crystal found the story, she felt a hand on her shoulder, and she put her hand on her shoulder, which was actually Blake's hand. Heard a growl coming from the bathroom, and that's when, because me and Crystal were texting over the phone, suddenly they're panicking, saying, I feel scared, I don't know what's going on, to, I got to go, talk to you later, friend. Crystal's never that formal, I knew that automatically. So I kept saying, like, you're not my friend, I know you aren't, how do we meet? Couldn't answer. You're not my friend, that feels like a family member. Like, just kept going for like an hour. So along the last, they came back to their senses after doing stuff with their family and told me, like, hey, what happened? Told them to read their text message. All they said was, oh. Really the story, and they were possessed for a bit, but I'm wondering what you think, because this malevolent spirit did, while inside my friend's body, did say, I'm in their body, right? I'm in their body, same thing, right? That's actually when I noticed all the red flags, like, no, I'm done. I am done with you, you're not my friend, get out.
So what's your thoughts there? I mean, to me, if this, these sort of things happened, it sounds like it could be something that, you know, obviously was telling the story to children on a Ouija board of, oh, you know, trust me, I'm a victim of something, and then it turns out to be something else.
Yeah, I think it gained sympathy and opened the door to communicate further, and that's where they try and trick you so that they can take over.
Yeah, that's typically what you see in a situation like that. Thanks for calling and sharing your experience with us. Let's go to another caller. Stand by. Here we go. Let's hear your ghost story. Hi.
Hey, all. Love the show. My name's Ryan. Call from Massachusetts. I had a super strange encounter yesterday that I definitely felt like it'd be worth sharing with the show. So I'll get into it. My friends and I... we went to an abandoned fort in Rhode Island. It's about an hour drive from where I live in Mass. And just for the sake of keeping it kind of unknown, I'm not going to say the name of it, but I'm sure if you really wanted to find it, you could just Google abandoned forts in Rhode Island. So it's a big concrete-type fort with lots of overgrown shrubbery around it, so it's like, it's not super hard to get to, but if you don't know it's there, you wouldn't really know to go there. Anyways, my friends and I went, we had just flashlights, and a couple of us were filming, and the cool thing about the fort is that it's just completely covered in graffiti. So it's a really cool spot to take pictures. That's kind of what we're all into, is urban exploration, hiking, and this combines both of those two things. So we're, we go into the first tunnel, and once the overall creepiness of the place, because there's no lights or anything, even in broad daylight, you need like insanely bright flashlights, at least like 100 lumens to be able to see everything. I mean, when I say total darkness, it's really like that. So after the first couple runs and tunnels we go through, the initial excitement and creepiness kind of wears off, and we're like, okay, now it's time to, now we feel acclimated. So we start getting a little bit more adventurous. We typically stay together, but I've been there so many times that I know like 90% of the tunnels and everything and where to go. So my friends are in a room, and I could see like the faint light through the dust and everything. I could see where they were, so I was just going to go down a tunnel that cuts down and around and meet them in that room. I wasn't going to scare them or anything. Like, I called out to them. So they all leave, and at this point, I'm like, okay, I'm going in this one by myself. And the tunnel entrances are, they're probably about 3 or 4 feet wide, but the thresholds are cut in half. So you have to crawl initially to get through the entrance. But once you're in it, you can stand up, and it's like a super high ceiling. I think they actually cut down the height of them to deter people from going in there, but that, I'm not sure. Anyways, I'm in this tunnel by myself. I had just stood up, and I felt like the craziest gust of wind I've like ever felt, and it was just so concentrated, and it came right at me, and it almost knocked me over. It was so intense and cold, and just so much energy was behind it. And right as that happened, I heard like the craziest like metal dropping. Something, it sounded like metal on concrete, which is pretty much the only two things in the area. So like, it honestly sounded like somebody dropped like a concrete or a steel plate onto the concrete in front of me. But I would have seen it. There was nothing in front of me. They were one room over, like I said, and they didn't hear it. And I actually took a picture of that exact moment, and I use an iPhone, which has live photo. So if you press and hold the photo, it'll kind of play as like a GIF, and it also records the sound from that exact moment. And the strangest thing is you can't hear the sound that I heard on the recording, but you can see like a super strange burst of dust and light. I don't know if there's a way to send over a live photo via email, but if you guys have an email address, I'd love to send that photo over. But yeah, I told my friends about it, and they're like, ah, dude, you're freaking out, like, we didn't hear anything. I'm like, hey, I was right here, and I just felt like this insane gust of wind, and like that, it seemed pretty like, I couldn't tell if it was good or bad. I don't think I have like the best ability to pick up on stuff like that. But after that, the rest of the trip was pretty normal. We just took some cool pictures of all the street art and stuff like that, and kind of just pushed ourselves out of our comfort zone by going through tunnels and stuff like that. But that was the only really scary thing that happened. If you guys use this on the show, I'd love to hear your take on it. And if I hear it at the episode and you know of a way I can send the photo over, I'd absolutely love to. Okay, thanks, guys. Love what you do with the show. Thank you.
I wonder how much more... how many more interesting encounters we're going to hear about over the years, just with the sheer amount of ways of capturing video now. With a live photo where you get essentially 2 seconds or a second in front of and back of each picture. Because mm-hmm. So many stills you get, and like, what was that? Was that just an orb? And that's all you used to have, just that one, you know, point millisecond that it captured.
Yeah.
But now you can kind of get those little clips with the live photo thing that opens up more evidence.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just the sheer number of everybody's got a camera now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be, oh, wow, that's pretty rare that you could catch something on film. But I think we're going to see so much more of that.
And everybody's filming everything, and all the selfies that are being taken, all that, I think really, increase your chances of having, more paranormal stuff, like Ring video, the doorbell cameras, or whatever brand mm-hmm. you want. You know, I get those sent to me all the time. Of what do you think this is? There's so many people who have security cameras in their house, which is, it used to be You have to have like be a rich person with a mansion to have security cameras all over your house. Now everybody, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people do.
Sure.
It's a lot more common and normal, and that's fine to have that. And it's motion activated. I had one that somebody sent me one, an image or a video clip the other day from a image in their house. And I didn't know what the hell it was. It was, they're like, what do you think this is? And it just looked like almost like a, about the size of like a tissue or something. Mm-hmm. Just on a still video, just all of a sudden, went middle of the night, floats up from the ground and then out of frame into the ceiling.
Wow.
Out of like, I don't know what, if it was a tissue, but it was about that size. Maybe if you like ripped a tissue, like a big strip of it, maybe it was about that size.
Yeah.
And you just saw that, like, and it was night vision that it was capturing. So you kind of saw the refraction of when like the night vision, you know, the subtle, you know, black light or whatever hit it. And then it never comes down. It's just gone. And I'm like, I email back, like, is there a vent there? Could it be like a return air thing where, you know, it's just happened to be sucked up because of the airflow? Sure. And no, nothing. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know so much that I want to have all those things all over my house. Just especially when it's like, oh, you have 7 new videos today. And it's just showing you the motion sensors that were tipped off in the middle of the night. It's one thing if they're outside and you catch a bunch of squirrels.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a whole other thing where it's like, and it's from your den. It's like, there shouldn't be any motion in my den at 3 a.m, you know?
Right.
I don't know that I want to. I wonder if more people will discover hauntings in their homes than ever before because of things like that.
Could be.
Where in the past, it would have to been like a crew that goes in and sets up their cameras and waits for days. And, you know, 1 out of 1 million people actually did that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you got something, maybe you didn't. But now it's so much more more common. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Emily, and I just wanted to share a few of my father's spiritual or paranormal experiences. Ever since I was younger, he's always been a very spiritual person and seemed to have a connection to people that have passed on that were close to him, like friends and family. The first one that I can remember is my Nana, who passed away in the 80s, so my great-grandmother, or his grandmother. He told me that a few years ago, he was sleeping, and he seemed to almost be past waking up, and he opened his eyes, and he felt and kind of saw as though someone was leaning over him, quite literally right in his face, and so then he kind of abruptly, you know, really woke up and nobody was there. And he swears to God that it really resembled his grandmother. He's always believed that he's had guardian angels his whole entire life. And then another experience he had was he had a friend, Louie, who went to Mexico to have a heart surgery, and he unfortunately ended up passing away. And the night that he had passed away, my father still had no idea. He, again, had a similar experience where he kind of half woke up and saw a man standing in the doorway with a black shirt on, Wrangler jeans, and boots. And that's exactly what Louis would wear every day. And then, like the other one, he kind of woke up fully and it was gone. And the next day, he got the news that Louis had passed. So I would love to hear what you think of these experiences my father has had. And, yeah. I really enjoy your podcast, and thanks so much for listening. Bye.
I think he gets death visits. No, seriously. When people die, they come and say goodbye to him in one form or another.
Is it because he's like more sensitive than others, or is it just the dead like to say goodbye to him?
It could be because he's more sensitive. That's why he's able to see them. Mm-hmm. But I think most people probably get some sort of death visit when a loved one dies. A lot of times it's not, oh, I saw them. It's I got a faint whiff of their cologne or perfume, mm-hmm. or, you know, just felt like they were there in the room.
Sure.
But super sensitive would see them.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for sharing your story with us. That wraps up today's episode of the show. If you like it, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus material and help keep this show on the air. Bonus episodes every single week. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.